Blog Talk Radio.
The proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. Shalom to all my brothers and sisters the world over. Blessed to be experiencing the greatness of Yah. It's good knowing Yah. I'm from Tacoma and always seeking the fellowship for the reason of knowing the difference of Hebrew and ease. And I'm reaching out to y'all. Hit me up on the cell. Write me an email. But teach the knowledge on the DL. You know they listening to our transmissions, but only key words catch their attention. So speak to me in the code unknown to these soulless monkeys. Let the game unfold. We gon' show these. They can't stop us from learning the true words of Yah. Even though they keep a secrets up in Vatican City, I want the spirit of wisdom and understanding up in me. Give praise to Yah if you feel me. What I need right now from you is a scripture too. We got a lot of work to do. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause I'm here, we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no science, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me. We have been bamboozled, everything that fools do. Some Hebrews to gap and act like it's usual activities of life, but they done learned the wrong teaching. Those of us that know Yah should start speaking up. They're beating us. Look what they're doing. Knocking on doors with their negative knowledge. They are recruiting. I know the scriptures say only a remnant will make it. But it's hard standing still knowing the punishments they're facing. I'm sick of these masons using their black magic to control how my people are thinking. It's tragic. That's why we need to sit down, combine thoughts, write up some literature and spread it around. There's a plague out there and only Yah is the cure. And if we witness to our people, then there won't be no more. They have to suffer for giving praises to the many false deities this beast has created. I show hate. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no science, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Don't just speak about Yah or written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the buzzing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me. I've been called everything from a blasphemist to a constitutionalist, new revolutionist. I know they ready to label me as a terrorist, cause I ain't too big on calling myself American. I'm a Hebrew, descendant of Shem, all the way down to Jacob. I'm living for them. Y'all gave a law to Moses and said it would never end, but in 2003, we still living in sin, and it's a shame. It's not like we can't change. Instead of trying to learn the scriptures, we live them in vain. So many habits in our brain that we won't let go. Then we teach them to our children, continuing the cycle. I can't stand these Muslims, Christians and Jews that don't pay close attention to the things they do. But since we know a little better than them, we need to use these computers and start writing letters to them. I'm come trying on. To gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no science, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me.
Attract you, breaking your commandments, eating pig and getting tattoos, and we got
a lot of nerve. For 6 days you worked, but your 7 days we don't deserve. And even though we live in Shallaway, we got a land full of black folks celebrating holidays. And our real heritage we forgot. God Most High, please forgive us, cause we know not. We'll be better off, but the things we are taught is the reason we have lost. We've been in captivity for generations, loving our enemy when he's the one we should be hating. He's got us sinning every day, and it's a habit to lie, steal, and get blown away. And we mixing with the other races, cutting the hair off our heads and the beards off our faces. But the heathen ain't to blame, we all find the material love and gold and cars. So what we gonna do? We need to stand up now and tell the Gentile it's all through. Let them know that we ain't taking it no more. And fighting for the blackness is something to kill for. Let's do it now. We can't wait any longer. Around this pagan, we won't get any stronger. And it's gonna take everything we got to ask the Elohim to forgive us. Cause we know not. To this Northwestern Black Hebrew Israelite revolution music that you're cruising down the hood to, sipping the good brew, scratching your head cause I'm telling you things that you never knew. And what I teach ain't make believe, because of changes made to the Bible you don't recognize the Elohim. Heathen, get your crew cause I got mine, breaking all of your laws, there's not a fine in your book big enough to convict us. We hope God's gonna kick the boogeyman, try to get us. Let me tend to offend you, cause I'm not gonna deal with the evil that meant you any longer. Every day reading up the Bible is what I do, instead of worshiping your paganistic idol. Blessed be the land of Israel, see a return, but in the meantime we dwell in a curse. It's time to repent for your sins, knowingly and unknowingly, all ye sinful kin. But don't call upon the wrong name, messing with the power of Yah ain't a game. And there's no church needed to learn, just a lot of common sense and the will to make your Bible pages turn. Shalom to all true black Hebrew Israelites, through the east may the tribes reunite. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome to African Aramean Scriptures. Tonight's feature is on the subject of the term blasphemy. We will learn. We'll look at text to the Old Testament Tanakh and the prophets' writings, and we will look at the Berit Hadashah Ketuvim Netzarim, or the New Testament, and we'll look at who define blasphemy. Look at how it is used in the Hebrew and Aramaic terms used in which the variant text, and get a clear understanding as to what is meant by the term blasphemy. Okay, the term blasphemy is a Greek term. It's Strong's Greek number 988, blasphemia, from the root blax, meaning sluggish or slow, and the term femi, meaning reputation or fame. So, the literal, a literal translation of it can be a slow or sluggish reputation. Another way you can render it from the Greek is to call or say something that is really good, bad, and say something that is really bad, good. Or calling good evil and evil good. And that is the heart of what is meant by the variant terms that you will find in Hebrew that are translated into Greek, blasphemia, to express. Not only, mostly it's done in speech and writing. Okay? So this is a very serious offense is for one to do, and it does not strictly limit this offense to a relationship to God. Like, you can only blaspheme God, but you can't blaspheme a person or anything like that. The term blaspheme is used mostly in reference to the deity. However, it is used in reference to people as well. But another way you can render it as slander or the evil tongue. That's another phrase. But you don't see that phrase often translated, evil tongue, lashon hara, translated as blasphemia. So that's interesting to look at some another time. I want to check out the lashon hara and look at how it is rendered in the Septuagint. And Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the five books of Moses. And with subsequent later, Greek translations were made of the prophets, and they were attached to Septuagint in later dates. And then people just really call all the Greek Old Testament. So, let's begin looking at the first verse where blasphemy appears. Is in Leviticus chapter 24, where in verse 10, and I'll read a translation for it. This is not my translation. Now, an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Yisrael, and the Yisraeli woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed at Strong's number 5344, the name, and cursed. And the word cursed here was Strong's Hebrew number 7043. Then they brought him to Moshe. His mother's name was Shilomit, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody till the will of Yahweh should be clear to them. Now, I gave the Strong's number for the term that was translated as blasphemy, which is 5044, and I gave the Strong's number for the word translated as curse, which is 7043. I did that for a specific purpose, which will become resoundingly clearer as we continue through this exposition, and we will see how the terms term translated as blaspheme and curse can be and have been translated interchangeably. Okay, so we will see the original the word that was translated as blaspheme in the passage in verse 11 of the 24th chapter of Vayikra or Leviticus is nakab, spelled nun kuf bet, and that's Strong's number Hebrew, Strong's Hebrew 5344, and it is translated as oftentimes as a point. I don't know why they do that, but blaspheme is one, bore, curse, express, and pierce. So that word, nakab, has translated those different terms and a few more. And what I did, I looked at the primitive root, that it is a primitive, and it says to puncture, literally to perforate with more or less violence, to figuratively, to specify, designate, libel, to blaspheme, to curse, express with holes, name, pierce, strike through. So the idea when that person, that rebellious son, well, he basically spoke evil or insulted the Most High, Yahweh, Elohim, Yisrael. That's what he did. And in the result, which obviously his attitude was depicting his spirit, his rebelliousness, which in this case it appears though that may have been some kind of contributing factor to the fight that was carried out in the camp. Now, the second term that was translated as curse in verse 11 of the 24th chapter of Vayikra is kalal, spelled kuf lamet lamet, Strong's Hebrew number 7043, and Jeff Bennett's Ancient Hebrew Lexicon of the Bible index number 1426b. Now, this word kalal, which is translated as I believe it was cursed, it actually it appears 82 times in the text. However, in the Old Testament, I'm saying 82 times. However, it is not the word most used to translate into English or into Greek as blasphemy. Oh, okay. But it has a high frequency, but it's not used to it's not translated as blasphemy in most of the cases in which it is used. Okay. And it's a verb. Okay, in this context. Now, we'll look at another word that is used for blasphemy. There are several words that are translated into blasphemy, which is the reason why we discuss this, because we know blasphemy is only one word in Greek used to insult, to slander in these contexts. And but when we went to the Hebrew and the Aramaic, we found there were a plethora of words used to articulate or communicate these Hebraic ideas. So we're on to our next word, our third one. The word is not, spelled Nun Aleph Zadi Safit. And it's Strong's Hebrew number 5006 and Ancient Hebrew Lexicon of the Bible index number 1317. And its meaning is he spurned or he treated with contempt. Or the infinitive would be to spurn or to treat with contempt. That'd be an infinitive construct. And the part of speech, this is the verb in the use as well. And it's the short definition, which is often translated as to spurn, you know, treat with contempt, as previously stated. Now I'm going to do a little simple breakdown by looking at the pictographic elements of this word. And we're going to look at how the ancient Hebrews may have interpreted this term. Okay, the nun symbolized the seed or the sprout. The aleph symbolized strength or ox or the number 1,000. And the zad, what we call zadeh, symbolize the trail or being on the side to hunt. And that kind of idea is communicated like when you're out hunting, you shoot some game from a distance and you may go out and look for the bodies and you may follow the trail of blood. So that's why you get the idea of side, animal being on the side, hunting, and trailing. So, and we posted some books that teach this ancient symbolism of the Aramaic, Hebrew, Canaanite script, which is known as the pictographic script. Is different from the Ashuri, Katav Ashuri, or the square script, or what people think called the Hebrew script. You can see more of the pictographic nature of the characters in that. But although the interpretation of the word still apply, regardless of the change in the design of the characters. And the pictographic interpretation of this word not is to continually oppress. And so we have a usage here in Psalms verse 3, but I'm going to go from 2 to 4. Chapter 10, Psalms chapter 10, verse 2 through 4. And we read as follows. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces Yahweh. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. In all of his thoughts, there is no God. End quote. So that lets you know that the word used for blasphemy there, na'at, which was translated, or it was used for blasphemy in the Greek text. And you get the Septuagint, it's going to have the word blasphemia there. In the Hebrew, it has the word na'at at this particular instance. And we see that word mean to continually oppress. So when we hear people, atheists or whatever, some other kind of irreverent person to Yahweh speaking as the person did in Leviticus 24 verse 10, even though it's a different word used, that same attitude applies. That person, he curses and renounces. I mean, he insults and pronounces indignities or insulting language, speech against the Creator. And the Creator. And that is what that turns. So basically, they oppress or harass the Most High, basically, by, in that particular, in that verse, they're saying that kind of speech, that kind of thought is harassing the deity. They're harassing the Most High by saying those things that they're saying. They're showing their ungratefulness and their pride. That's why that type of behavior and that kind of speech was linked in the fourth verse of the 10th chapter of Tehillim Psalms as the pride. And then a person facing wicked and seeking him, and the final thought in that same was the person who said there is no God. There is no deity. There's no greater power than man, than mortal man. So, in other words, they want you to not be fearful to sin, to transgress the Torah, the teaching of Moshe and HaMashiach, but to do whatever the evil inclination wants them to do. Okay, that's the big idea in that passage, Psalms chapter 10, verse 2-4. To feature that term na'at, translated as blasphemy in the Septuagint. Now, we can move on to our next term. The next term is mook, spelled mem waw kuf. And it's Strong's Hebrew, index number 4167. And Jeff Benner's Ancient Hebrew Lexicon of the Bible, 1295. And that word is translated in English oftentimes to mean to mock or deride. That's infinitive. And it appears only one time in all of the Hebrew writings. There is no other instance where you would see it. So it's interesting to wonder how would the ancient Hebrews know to use this term one time and not anymore to communicate an idea that the Greeks would translate as blasphemy, or perhaps on some other term. Well, they translated in this text, as we'll see, not as blasphemy, but that's what the Septuagint writers did. It's in the Greek as blasphemy. That's how these words were found. By the way, they appeared in the Greek. Now, I'm gonna read the pictographic interpretation of this letter. The mem symbolizes fluidity, instability, or liquidity, and the waw or the vav symbolizes addition or securing something, because it's a tent peg, and so you tie things down with it. And the kuf is symbolizes something being behind or distant from you, and some translators look at it as the horizon or the descendant. I call it the term ascendant and descendant of the heaven and earth, and that's a simple way of looking at something that is, you know, is revealed and yet concealed. Okay, now, in my pictographic interpretation, follows as instability, double-mindedness, secure to past and future. And they translate as, interpret as inner, or at least dictionary I use, they translate as inner rottenness, some kind of inner corruption. And the only place it can be found is the 73rd chapter, 8th verse of Psalms, Tehillim in Hebrew. And the passage reads, "They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression." Now, you can go and look at it in context and see to whom these people are said to scoff with malice and whom they are threatening with oppression. And you can see how it's used in a particular passage, but loftily, definitely, I mean, they're doing this with super pride. They don't even care. So we see that today with the devilish world's governments, primarily centered in Europe, and how they threaten the world with whatever cruelty they can imagine, and they are not the slightest bit concerned about any kind of punishment or recompense from the creators. They appear to be unbothered by any kind of penalty for their behavior. Now, the next term we'll look at before we take a break is we'll look at the term Gadaf, spelled Gimel Dalet Pei Safit or Fei Safit. Gadaf is a primitive root which can be translated to mean to hack with words, that is revile, and it's also translated as blaspheme and reproach. Strong's Hebrew index number is 1442. And the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, index number 2056. And this is an amazing term. And this term is when we look at the pictographic analysis of it, the gimel symbolizes the foot and a camel. And the dalet symbolizes the a door or a portal. And the pei or fei safit symbolizes the mouth and speaking and openness. That's the pay symbolized. So my pictographic interpretation of the term is to slice with speech, to use your word. People talk about words cutting deep. Well, the term Gadaf is used to do exactly that. That's what the term Gadaf epitomized. Now, the term Gadaf, like they talk about Gaddafi. Now, they used to pronounce his name Qaddafi with a kuf in previous era, but right before they were about to murder him, they publicized his name in the media as Gaddafi, indicating that they would slice him. They would, you know, they would slander him in the media, basically. That's what they said they would do. And all things an interesting feature about this particular term is the most used one in the Old Testament, and this has exclusive usage in the Peshitta text, that is the Aramaic New Testament, that's 2nd century A.D., and the Peshitta Old Testament from the same period, approximately, presumably, and the Hebrew New Testament text that were made or found, what have you, uses Gaddaf exclusively for this for the term blasphemy that is used in Greek texts of the Bible. And so this word has seven occurrences in the Old Testament or the Old Testament writings, and is one that I decided to feature was in the book of Prophet Yechezkel, which is Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 27. And I'll quote the verse. It says, "Therefore, a son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says Yahweh Eloheinu, in this also your fathers blasphemed me." And for blasphemed me is Gaddafti. That's the term used for blaspheme in this passage, or Gaddaf. And it says, "by dealing treacherously with me." Now, by dealing treacherously with the Most High was the offense of blasphemy. So how could they deal with blasphemy? By their speech, they mean they may make oaths that they're going to say or do something, and by not doing it, they have insulted the creators. They insulted Yahweh. And we'll get into how believers can blaspheme later on or insult the Most High by not representing the Most High properly, by going out living like one of the nations, disregarding the Torah, treating the Torah and the Messiah's atonement work with lightness, as though it is inconsequential or trivial. We in turn can be blasphemers. That's the Greek term, blasphemers, by doing that. So it's most important to be careful how we deal with the Most High, because we can possibly be guilty of this offense. Okay. Now, the variant forms of Gaddaf, touched on earlier, are used in the Peshitta Aramaic and the Hebrew exclusively to any other synonym to this term, Gaddaf, or blasphemia throughout the New Testament. This is the Gaddaf is the, no, this is the root word used for insulting, deriding, reviling, holding the Most High in contempt, or insulting even the prophets and the apostles. This is the term. And I give a few places where it can be found. If you have, it'll be posted in the chat room. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Yehuda or Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. As insults. It's translated as insults in the book of Ephesians 4:31. The book of Lucas chapter 5, verse 21. And Mark chapter 3, verse 28. So, in all those places and many more, in Aramaic Peshitta and in the Hebrew, Kitav Netzarim, that is the writings of the Nazareans, you will find that term Gaddaf used, and it is translated as blasphemia in the Greek text. But in the Hebrew, it is variant in conjugations of the root Gaddaf. That's what you're going to see. So, what we're going to do, we'll take a quick break. You can probably go and get your Bibles and perhaps go ahead and look at these terms, something, take a break, and do what you need to do. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thank you. Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Greetings, I'm Eric Teamer, host of Common Sense Conversations. Join me every Tuesday and Friday when I put common sense where it ain't so common. That's Common Sense Conversations, every Tuesday and Friday, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central, 3:30 Pacific. Common Sense Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome to AfricanImpressions.com. African Impressions is a Black-owned business that offers products made by the global African community. African Impressions offers the finest in African-made jewelry, craft, clothing, and so much more. As the renaissance of the African community rapidly approaches, you need to add acquiring products crafted by members of the global African family to your repertoire of activities. We must rediscover more of our ancient cultural habits, which we struggle to regain, and incorporate them into our daily lives. Support African craftsmen and women by shopping at AfricanImpressions.com today. Hope to see you there.
Listen to Love in Black with Charles and Jolivet on the Tribal Family Station on blogtalkradio.com.
There we will share our experiences and our insights on marriage and love, sex, respect, and honor. We're on every Thursday evening on the Tribal Family Station.
Making music for y'all is the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black. kids were like children. What they need is revolution, not the dreams you selling. Everything ain't kosher in this land we dwelling. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black kids were like children. What they need is revolution, not the dreams you selling. In this land we dwelling. I was given a vision. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black kids were like children. What they need is revolution, not the dreams you selling. Everything ain't kosher in this land we dwelling. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black. Revolution, not these dreams you selling. In this land we dwell in.
My life is in a world of confusion. Keeping my faith, but the wicked want me choosing. And not a slip the time or two. It ain't nothing new. Things that you've been through, I've been through. Ain't it a terrible thing? The nation ain't growing. The sins that our fathers knew, we still knowing. The past they took, we still taking. Without thinking of the laws that God gave us during the time of Moses. I know I ain't the one to speak on it, but I should be. Cause John said, witness to those that you love truly. Who, me? Prophet or priest? Nah, I'm just a servant who loves Yahweh and his people. Humble me permanently. Close to the Most High, I'm yearning to be. A better black Hebrew is what I'm learning to be. But sometimes I feel alone in these struggles of life. When you're surrounded by wrong, it's hard trying to be right. So tell me, what does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen. My people can't form a team. I'm stressing trying to figure it out. I really want to know what I'm living about. Yah, tell me, please, what does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen.
All right, welcome back to African Aramean Scriptures. Doing our exposition on the term blasphemy, the Greek term blasphemia, anglicized as blasphemy in the English translations of the Bible. Oftentimes, we're looking at the Hebrew term, variant Hebrew terms that are translated as blasphemy in the Septuagint. And the Septuagint is, as we understand, is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, of the writings of Moses, and how that term is applicable in our understanding and our walk. Now, we left off, we were looking at the term Gadaf. That's the most, a term that's most frequently used in the New Testament and Old Testament for to translate as blasphemia. And that's the Greek, and English is blasphemy. And we're now going to move on to our next term for exposition as klemitut. Klemitut. It's spelled kaf, lamet, mem. That's the root, and the suffix ut. Wild tet is the wild tau, actually, is the plural feminine suffix. Okay, and its short definition is humiliation. That's right. We'll do a pictographic analysis of the root. The kaf symbolized the palm of the hand. The lamed symbolized staff or authority, rulership, and the mem symbolized fluidity, liquidity, and instability. There you go. And the pictographic interpretation, which follows as, something that is destabilized, destabilizing the authority. Because the staff is ruler, and we know the hand of rulership we weaken that, or that can be weakened by the instability which follows by the mem. So we talk about destabilizing or weakening authority. Okay, and this, the Strong's Hebrew index number for this term is 3640, and it appears only once in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. And I would probably render the venture to say it appears once in the Peshitta Old Testament. I haven't seen it, so I can't say that it does because I haven't seen the Peshitta Tanakh of this book yet. There are some available in the old Aramaic script. Not many, though, But there are some coming out. I think Dave Bosher is producing one as we speak. He's released, I read, 3-4 books. He's done Proverbs, Psalms, Exodus, and Bereshit, that is Genesis. He's done those 4 books, and there are more coming. So after he finishes, I'm sure it's going to follow with concordances and all that sort of thing to be able to search and analyze the Aramaic text more in depth. But the term is used only one time. It occurs in the book of Yirmiyahu. That is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 40. And it is, I'll quote, open quote, "And I shall bring up on you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame." Shame is the term used here for Kelimut. I'm sorry, Kelimut. That's it, Kelimut. And it is used, it's translated as shame in this passage, which shall not be forgotten. So, that's what that term. So, and sometimes it, in the Greek text, it's used as blasphemia. Remember, that's what we people may say, oh, why are we talking about shame here? And we're supposed to be looking at blasphemy because in the Septuagint, that's the word used there. However, other English translations and the Hebrew text use, you know, blasphemy is not a Hebrew word or Aramaic. It's Greek. And so we're tracing back the terms. We're backtracking here. And we're looking at the Hebrew text. And so this word is translated as shame or ignominy. And that means embarrassing and so forth. So you can look at that in context. Go, you can check out Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 40. And you can read that, how that word is used in context of that passage, and see how its relationship is with you know, other terms that is used very infrequently, like mook, which is used only one time in the entire Bible. So, and we can go on and see what other things can we conclude at this point. And the thing we conclude is, the idea of blaspheming is to insult, to have contempt, to treat with triviality or trifling, to treat something as non-consequential, as unimportant, to slander. You know, so when we're saying slander, we're not saying just talk bad about somebody, although it can include that. But not necessarily so. The basically, it is to actually to bear false witness, to actually lie while speaking the irreverent speech. But when you're treating that something lightly, and it's not that you're treating it lightly, it's because that matter is really heavy, and you're treating it lightly. And that is what is termed kalal or gadav, klimut. Are these other terms, you're actually doing the opposite of what it deserves, or na'at, or not. These terms reflect the idea of using your mouth, using speech, to treat something or to regard, to change reality. Call something good evil and evil good. Remember, blacks, it blasphemy. In the Greeks, taken from the compound word from the root blacks, meaning slow, and theme, meaning fame, renown. So to treat something slow or sluggish, or basically to slander and to revile with speech. So remember, you can be blasphemous by your conduct, or by improperly representing something. You know, in a way that is not accurate. So when I go out and say, hey, I'm an Israelite, or I believe in, I'm a follower, I'm a student, I'm a disciple of the Most High, of Yahushua HaMashiach, or Christ, I'm a student of Moshe Ben Amram, and I'm out there out in the street doing all kind of things, or maybe even pretending to be doing them and not really. I'm causing other people to not regard the Most High with the proper respect, because when I am misrepresenting the Most High. People, they look at me and they say, oh, this is that person is a follower or alleged devotee of a particular spiritual discipline or a God, and this is his conduct. And when they speak net evil of your God and you are responsible for them having that negative opinion, you have in turn been a contributor to the evil that they are committing. Now, however, if they're blaspheming without your help, then that sin is upon them squarely. So the charge that we are to gain from this is to be very careful concerning how we properly evaluate matters, how we properly regard our conduct as it relates to living it out. One verse, text example, is I think it's Exodus 19, that you are not to, or you may not take the name that is Hashem, Yahweh Elohim, in vain. Okay, and what is meant by that? That means not to use that the name by your life, by the way you live and conduct yourself, to bring the name of the Creator, the Most High, Ha'ayon, to of low esteem. And just like it read in Ezekiel Yekezkel, chapter 20, verse 27, which we covered earlier in the podcast, in the verse stating, said, therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Yisrael and say to them, thus say Yahweh Eloheinu, in this also your fathers blasphemed me. Okay, and the term used there was Gaddafi, or Gaddafi was the root. And so by dealing treacherously with me. So their conduct in their oaths, in their commitment, in their halakha, that is the way they walked out the spirituality, the path, was blasphemous. So when you eating that pork chop sandwich, and when you out there saying, hey, I'm Torah observant, I'm with the Torah, but I don't believe in the Most High, in Yahweh's anointed that he has sent, and you are blaspheming. Now, I know many people can beg to differ with that, and differ you may. Go ahead. But when you have rejected his Messiah, that lays squarely on you. Now, that's your salvation. You got to work out with fear and trembling and do so as we all must. But don't treat this, but to treat this as the Messiah, Yahweh's Messiah, as Yahweh's Messiah, his anointed, as a trifling person of low esteem, that sin will be upon you. And since you think you're right, hopefully, would think that this is going to work out. But I happen to hedge my opinions, not more than my opinion, but my trust, faith, hope, all that right there, is that I have understood the prophecies accurately, and I have interpreted everything as, by doing the analysis and doing my study, by showing myself approved, as Acts chapter 13 states, as the Bereans are, I have done the necessary work that I have the trust, not based upon blind faith, hearsay, and conjecture, but based on Moses and the prophets, and I have seen and I understand who HaMashiach is. And therefore, I don't blaspheme his name in that regard, but now my charge is to live appropriately so that I may not blaspheme or to revile or to bring shame to the name by my conduct. My conduct is to bring positive attention to Yahweh Elohim. That's what my daily life should and is supposed to reflect, and to not strive to do that is, according to the Greek and Anglicized term, blasphemy. That's the essence of that from a person who claims to be spiritual point of view. And for those atheists, as in the Psalms chapter 10, verse 2 through 4, you see the godless people, the people who are antagonistic to the Elohim Israel or Yisrael, they blaspheme by their insulting and by their irreverence. So, blaspheming is capable for a lot of people to do. And don't think that it's impossible for you to be one of those people. So everybody, guard yourself, all right? And hope you found this program, interesting. The notes for this podcast are being posted as we speak in Archaic, Aramaic, Canaanite, Amharic, and Ge'ez, and it in Hebrew. It's in that community page, website, facebook.com/ Archaic Aramaic Canaanite. And it's over there in the notes section, and you can go in there, you can check the notes out, and you can continue studies on your own and to help you build your understanding on these terms and how they were used by the ancients. Okay? And we will see you next time on African Arabian Scriptures, and Shavuot Tov. Let's have a good week.
I'm dropping, keeping them moving, showing attitude to all of you that hate what I'm doing with my music, reciting Moses and David, having you flipping his pages. The show is talking to me, but you debated. I ain't trying to start a war with you. It's all love, the key to unlock the prophecy from heaven above. So if you wanna understand what he plans to do, read his book and take heed in what's demanded of you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. Living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Time keep up. It cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Time keep up. It cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Study the Bible with an open mind and common sense. Find yourself a quiet place where no distractions exist. Say a prayer, beg him for understanding and wisdom. You'll be amazed at what he gives for the time you give him. And by all means, fellowship with only those on God's team. So you won't be led astray by man-made beliefs, spreading lies and deceit to us lost sheep. Ecclesiastes 12:12-14. This is the reality we need to learn to love, cause this time is near. And I wanna see all of us together as the covenant house. I wanna see all of us together. So enlighten your mind. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. You're living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Every move that we make, every breath we take, every deed that we do, every hand we shake, all the hearts that we break, all the lies we tell, all these deities, all the blasphemies we yell. Don't you know he's aware? Nothing's out his reach. What they do in the White House and what we do in the streets. See, I'm just like you, searching for truth and shelter. But in order to see it, you and I must come together. And that's the only way it's going down.
The only way.
You either gonna accept it, or you're gonna reject it. But either way, he's on his way.
He's on his way.
So you best enlighten your mind.
Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We living off of faith, ain't no picture. Open up your eyes before your time's up.
put the